Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 16 A Bitchin' A Podcast.
I hate you.
We have the usual for you today. We shall chat bullshit. We shall cover one modern video game, one retro video game, and one indie game. And I'm looking forward to talking about all of them. But first, it is story time, which means cut that music. Need something a bit more serious, right? Okay, that I'll have to do. So this is a story, ladies and gentlemen. You ready for said story? This is a true story. This happened. This really happened. I shit you not. It happened to me today. Yeah, it's gonna be one of them. So once upon a time, there was a handsome, tall individual. I was not that person, but I am tall. Yes, 6 foot something. Anyway, what's that got to do with anything? Shut the fuck up, me. So imagine this. I am at work. I work on a building site. It is a place of true boredom. I hate my job, but regardless, I was at work, and this morning, as usual, the coffee had kicked in. That's right. I needed to poop. So I headed to the worksite toilets. Now bear in mind, if you have ever been to a download festival, then you have seen the kind of toilets I am, unfortunately, accustomed to at work. The walls are icky. The seats are sticky. Nothing should you licky. It's all rather disgusting. Anyway, sitting upon this porcelain and very stained throne, I have done my business. Everything is fine. Not regarding all of the icky, but still everything is fine. Then I go to get up. Then lightning struck my spine. The pain echoed throughout the muscles in my back. The pain was unfucking believable. The agony ensued. My body crunched up into the shape that resembled a question mark. I was now frozen, levitating off of the toilet, but not able to stand up. My back had gone. Without reason or cause, my body had simply decided, yes, I am fucked. I could not move, but I could let out a rather manly sound like this. Ow. Knowing that I was in danger, especially because I had not yet managed to turn and flush, my mind raced for what to do. Do I try to stand up? Do I move slowly? Do I try to sit back down on the throne of doom? What do I do? 17 minutes and 58 seconds later, having stayed in the question mark position, I decided I knew what I must do. Very, very slowly, I attempted to rise to a standing position. This took quite a while, and was very dangerous, for my spine was twisty and curvy and turvy and buggered, and my muscles were achy and owy and burny and shitty. Everything was pure hell, and it wasn't even 9 o'clock in the morning yet. Everything was going wrong. Finally, I was able to leave the toilet. And for the rest of the day, my back has been in fucking agony! Yes, I am now sitting here recording this podcast in an awkward sort of seating position, because I can't sit the way I want to, because that would hurt a lot, so I'm sort of sat upright, but slightly to the left. For I have a trapped nerve in my right that has had me walking in circles all day, because I can't seem to twist to my right. So, that is a story of pure horror that I have been through all day. I knew you would appreciate it. Because, let's face it, what is scarier than being in a really fucking, I can't stress this enough, disgusting toilet that I had indeed made worse because I hadn't yet flushed it, and then you can't move. And if you're thinking, maybe my work colleagues would come to see if I'm okay. We're builders. We don't care about each other. So that was my day. I thought I would tell you a story of pure sorrow and woe and pain, and I thought typical day in the life of me ought to cover that. There you go. Wasn't that wonderful? Enough of the horse shit. It's time to move on with the 16 Bitchin' podcast. And we are going to talk about our modern game. A game I don't think, in terms of genre, we've really covered before. I think. This! I know there's several ways to pronounce this, so I'm just going to get it wrong no matter what I do, so fuck you. Is Raiden 4. Listen to that music. Isn't that just fucking amazing? The music in this game is truly amazing. I will say, though, the one I've played is the recent release, because I believe the original release of this game was Xbox 360, and it came out in 2008. But the one I played came out on Nintendo Switch, and it's called Raiden 4 X Mikado Remix. I've blatantly pronounced that wrong, haven't I? That came out in recent years. I believe it came out last year? Maybe. Actually, no, you know what? I think the Switch one is slightly older. I think there's one on PS4 and PS5 that came out in last year of 2023. But whatever. What is this game? Side-scroll and shoot 'em up that sometimes becomes a fucking bullet hell game. That's what I mean by I don't think we've covered this kind of genre before on the podcast. I can't think of a time when we've really gone into it with a shmup, and I definitely know we haven't covered a bullet hell one. Actually, you know what? I think the time we had Sega Zombie on, he talked about a shmup. What was that on? It was like Commodore 64 or something. Can't remember. Definitely nothing like this in terms of the modern sense. So why am I talking about this game? Well, one, I managed to get it dead cheap on the Switch, and I got to play it with my kids. Now, I'm trying to get my kids to appreciate arcade sticks. I'm trying. So I had them trying fighting games with them. Like me, they're not a fan. I feel like you have a slower reaction time with an arcade stick if you're playing like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, I don't know, anything. I feel like things are slower. In terms of the action buttons, yeah, you're probably quicker. But in terms of the stick, as opposed to a D-pad, I feel like it's slower. That's just my opinion, though. The kids then tried playing the game we talked about last time, Aliens Arcade, and they enjoyed it a bit more, but they weren't eager to try it again. Then it hit me. I'm an idiot. My favourite type of game to play arcade sticks on is shooters, shooter games, shmups. I say shmup, I hate the word, I really do, but I say shmups because if I say shooter, some bloody people think I'm on about shooters as in first-person shooters. So, just to keep them completely separate, that is why I say shmup. Anyway, so I'm trying to get the kids into arcade stick, and I thought a shmup is key. And I have this one on the Switch. Kids, they obviously love the Switch. You know, so this is the way forward. And I was right. They were competing with each other to try and get the high score. This game, it's so brilliant in the way that a shmup should be. The music is astounding. I mean, you just listen to some more of this. that you're hearing right there is apparently remixed background music by various artists produced by Game Center Mikado. Again, that's obviously because this is a re-release of the game. I have no idea what the music's like on the 360 one, nor do I care. I got the Switch one, and I'm happy about it. The kids were thoroughly enjoying the game. I mean, you got to think, it's very colourful. If you are watching this a week later on YouTube, then you will get to see the sort of gameplay we have. Because it's vertical, of course, it's got the borders at the two sides. The kids kept asking me, why is it like that? Like, well, it was originally designed for arcades. And they're going, yes, but why can't I make it widescreen on the television? I'm like, because you can't. I hate having to explain everything to kids. It's like the first time you give one of them a Game Boy. This touch screen is terrible. No, you're just stupid. But one thing I found particularly different from other shmups is the power-ups. Yes, you've got your typical one that just works as a constant laser. That's the blue colour power-up you get. Just a constant laser, zooming along, destroying everything. Then you get a red power-up, which is essentially missiles that just sort of spread out in all sorts of directions. It's okay. Doesn't look as appealing as the blue one, though. Just doesn't. But there's a purple power-up. This one's cool. There's two ways you can play the game. You can either have it as a constant wave, or you can have it as a lock-on one. The lock-on one is, I don't know if it's easier in the game, but I definitely did get further with it on this mode, so I guess it is a bit easier. The wave mode, you have to move around, and with the purple laser, it literally is like a wave. If you move to the left, you can make it sort of push leftwards and bounce back a little bit. So it is literally like a wave, whereas the blue one is constantly a line that's going in line with you, and the red, as I said, just shoots off in all directions. The kids were joking about the way the purple one looks. My daughter Luna said, it's like a noodle laser. A noodle laser. Those were her words. Then my son Kane laughed and said it looked like purple ramen slap. Purple ramen slap. So one's calling it purple noodle, the other one's calling it purple ramen slap. We already have a name for the lasers. That's brilliant. Minds of a child, eh? Absolutely fucking retarded. But with all the silliness that ensued, they were enjoying the chaotic nature of this game. I mean, there's so much shit that comes flying down from the top, and they've never played, well, they've played shmup, but they've never played bullet hell. And they're just looking at all of the projectiles firing towards you, going, how are you meant to dodge that? I go, well, you can shoot some of the projectiles, you've got your bomb power up, you've basically got a laser, whatever type you've managed to get, and the bomb. The bomb you have only a few of, they will wipe everything out on the screen. It's like, if you're ever in trouble, blow everything up. Or if you're good enough, just save it to the end boss and make it as easy as hell. When I say end boss, I mean the boss at the end of each level, of course. I don't mean the one at the end of the game. I haven't got there yet. I'm not that good. In fact, I'm so not good that a playthrough can last anything from 5 minutes to an amazing 10 minutes. But we didn't care because we just kept swapping the arcade stick, passing it over in a circle going around us. As a game, as a shmup, it's very typical. You're a ship, lasers, tons of enemies, tons of projectiles, but the music really makes this thing stand out. The visuals, they're just colourful as hell and beautiful to have. If you can find this game for a decent price, get it on whatever console you want to play it on, because it looks like there's a fucking bunch. Arcade, obviously, Xbox 360, PS3, Windows, Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, S, I don't know, the Series 1s. Fucking Xbox and their shit-ass console names, eh? If you're wondering if there is a story to this game, since it's obviously a sequel, being Raiden, whatever the fuck, 4, yes, there's a story, but since this is the first Raiden game I've ever played, it doesn't make a lick of sense to me. In Raiden 4, you'll continue the fight against the extraterrestrial race known as the Crystals in their attempt to take over the world. The arcade classic steps up for its explosive arrival on PC and a bunch of other crap. Blah, blah, blah. That's basically all you can find about the story. It's horseshit. Who cares? It's a shmup. Right? Back in the day when I had Fantasy Zone on Master System, I loved that game so much. Did I love the story on that? Yes, but it was incredibly simple, and at the end of the day, you were a living ship. Back then, that was a hell of a lot more cooler. We didn't have Farscape, so living ships just was not a thing. One really creative thing, other than the purple ramen slap laser... I know, it's weird. The bosses, when they come on the screen, they will split apart and become several targets. They will sort of move and morph and transform. Really cool the way it's done. I mean, when you look at a game like Darius as a shmup, some of the more modern Darius games, yeah, the bosses do morph and change and all that, but there's something about the way it's done in this riding game. It's bloody glorious. I love it. I really do love it. Again, I have not beaten the game. And is it a game I'm working on as a project? No. It's a game that whenever I've got time with the kids, it'd be like, let's see if we can beat our high score on this. Which we can't. But I don't care because I'm just enjoying listening to the damn music most of the time. I think I'm going to have to buy the soundtrack, which I believe you can even get. I think the PS5 version comes with a CD, or if I'm really unlucky, just a bloody code to download it, in which case I'll get it fucking anywhere, right? And that is our modern game. Due to the fact it's a shmup, there's not a lot more to talk about. So we are moving on to our retro game. Now, I know a couple of people would argue, is this retro? Is it? Well, if you remember a little while ago, I said, I consider now that if someone says, the PS2 era, that's not retro. It's like, well, if you think of its release date, it was over 20 years ago. So I think it's just become retro. Because I know some people say, oh, it's only retro if I remember it from my childhood. It's like, yes, but you get older. Retro should have some sort of, I don't know, birthing time when it is declared retro. Like we've said, PS3 is not retro nor modern. If I ever talk about a PS3 game on this podcast, I'll probably put it in the modern section just because I think it's more towards the modern than it is towards the retro for some reason. But with PS2, GameCube, and the original Xbox, I believe they are now just labelled as retro. And that is why we are talking about a certain Xbox game that had a lot of us PS2 gamers looking over and going, I want to play that. I really want to play that game. Or like some of us, I'm not interested in that game. I've got my PS2. My PS2 is brilliant. I don't need that game with the aliens and the guns, and the graphics, and the multiplayer gameplay. Oh no. That game was Halo. Fuck you, you knew I had to do it. Here's the actual soundtrack. Halo Combat Evolved, as its full name. Yes, this was the game that had many Sony ponies, as some of you like to be called. Turn your head and look towards this new thing called Xbox. I mean, me and 90% of my friends at school at the time had PS2. DVD player, the ability to play our old PS1 games, and this new console that essentially is, you know, it's three things in one. It was glorious. We wanted it. You look at Nintendo a little later on with their GameCube. You think, well, I can't play a DVD on that, so it's instantly down in my eyes. Did it have a killer app as we looked at the GameCube? Did it have a game we were all just thirsty for? No. Not for a while, for me at least. I mean, we eventually, like, there was Wind Waker. So good. But that was me as a Zelda fan. Most of my friends were not Zelda fans, and if they were, They were really content with their Game Boy or Game Boy Advance stuff. They didn't care enough to buy a whole new console for a Zelda game. Remember, school kids, we had no money, so it's, if you're getting a console, it's whatever one your parents get you, you best make sure you pick one for as many good reasons as possible. Needless to say, the GameCube one, at the time, felt like it didn't. Then there's this new thing. It's not Nintendo, it's not Sony. Fucking Microsoft have come out of a console? Why the hell have they done that? It's bloody huge, it's massive, look at the fucking thing. And at the time, the controller, the Duke, Jesus, that's a big old thing to hold.
Name of my sex tape.
Why would we want this new thing? Oh, apparently it's got a DVD player. Oh, so it's already got something competing with the PS2. Ah, yeah, but apparently you can't use the controller. You have to buy the separate remote. Well, that's fucking stupid. Why the hell would I want to do that? Why should I get this console? Lo and behold, Halo. Look at this game. It was truly beautiful. It looks stunning. I mean, out of those three consoles we've just mentioned, PS2 did have the wankiest graphics of the three. They were not bad, but they were not as good as the others. I think Resident Evil 4 is the best example for all of that shit. If you ever want to actually look and do comparisons, check YouTube for separate vids. There's a fucking million of them. But Halo, oh, I had one friend, one, who said no to PlayStation, who said no to Nintendo, but he said yes to this new thing. He took a gamble. And while he did get many other great games, I mean, in case people are like judging me for anything I've said about GameCube or Xbox or anything, bear in mind, as soon as I left school and got a job, I made sure I had all the consoles anyway. That was where my money went. I wanted them all, I just couldn't have them all at once when I'm a fucking student in school. Any hoops, the Xbox with Halo, it was amazing. This game looked so fucking cool. When I finally got to go around that friend's house to check out the game, he said, okay, right, so you want to try this out? You want to test it? I'm like, yes, mate, I can't wait to see this game. He's gone, okay, do you mind being player two, though? I'm like, sorry, what? This is a two-player game? I thought it was just one player. He's gone, yeah, there's one player. Is this versus or is it cooperative? I'm thinking, please say cooperative, please say cooperative, please say cooperative. To me, versus mode belongs in fighting games. I have so much more fun with cooperative two-player games. I always have done. There's less, fuck you, I kicked your ass, when? I've never been into that. I'm always, yes, we beat the fucker, come on, I'll do this, you do that, yeah, teamwork. I actually really enjoy that. And Halo 1... fucking hell. I was blown away by how good this was for two player. And I'll never forget the first time my mate said, hey, you're in for a treat now. What's that in? It says Warthog. My fucking Warthog? Are there pigs in this game? What's a fucking... a Warthog ain't what I think it is it? And then this fucking Jeep from space basically lands. When I say Jeep from space, I mean it fell from space. I mean it looked like a space Jeep. He says, do you want to be the gunner or the driver? What? Oh, dude. This is some Terminator shit here. One of us gets to have a minigun on the back. He's gone, yeah, yeah. He says, I should warn you, aiming with it is a bastard. Because when someone's driving, it's kind of tough to predict which way they're going to go. I was like, oh, okay. I kind of want to drive it. He's gone, are you sure? It's a bastard to drive as well. I'm like, you're not selling me on this fucking Warthog thing, mate. Let me have a go with both. He's like, okay, drive first then. Jesus fuck. It's amazing to think how good this game was, but if you play it now, Halo 1, you go back to Halo 1, try driving a Warthog. What a floaty piece of fuck that is. It's one of the shittest things to drive ever. And yet it's still so much fun, especially when you got a mate on the back who's a gunner. If you stack it, both of you fall out of the car like, well done, dickhead. It's it's a ton of fun. Halo Combat Evolved for two-player was brilliant. One player is obviously still amazing. I know a lot of people that wanted to play the versus mode shit. When my friend got enough people around... Oh, no, I tell a lie. No, I tell a lie. When I had bought my own console, I got other controllers, had friends around. We did the fucking double-way split screen where you got a corner of the telly each. Back then, if you had a TV in your own room, It weren't big. Cutting it into four pieces, Jesus, if any text popped up, you couldn't read it. You had to squint, and even then it was useless. Obviously, this game was the killer app that sold the Xbox consoles. Yes, there was some amazing Star Wars games on the console, but none of them had that unique thing. This is kind of like, if you think back to it, this is what made Nintendo people look at the Sega Mega Drive, Sega Genesis. There's this thing called Sonic. Like, fucking look at that thing move. Look at the colour, look at the graphics, look at the... Wow, look at that controller. Look at that controller. Look how cool it is. And that was the thing, the key point, the selling point. It looks cool. There's Halo. Welcome to the new Sonic the fucking Hedgehog. Oh shit. I need that. I do need that. We've gone over how graphically this game is amazing. Gameplay wise, it's fucking fantastic. If you're playing one player, the AI for the Marines can be truly bloody stupid at times. Why don't you just walk into my gun while I'm firing, you fucking knobsack? What's that? You walked off an edge? Did you literally throw that grenade at a tree, watch it bounce off and blow me the fuck up? Yes, you did. The AI for the Marines, thick as shit. They fixed it for a Halo 2, but in Halo 1, which is what we're focusing on, they're dumb and they piss me off. When all the Marines died, it's like, oh no, all my men are gone. Good! Now I can fucking play it! But the gameplay otherwise was stellar. The music for the game. Every time you hear that track, I know we've already played it, we're going to play it again now. This fucking tune. This tune. It's a standout tune, isn't it? It's one of the big things that a truly powerful and great game needs is its own killer tune. Again, when we look at Sonic the Hedgehog compared to Mario, Sonic had his own theme tunes, like the Emerald Hill Zone or Green Hill. You know what I mean? This fucking tune. Okay, now back to the Halo one. That tune for the Sonic one makes you think Sonic the Hedgehog, running really fast, having a great time with 16 bits. This tune, this one here, makes you think, yes, the Covenant are fucked. We shall go forth and kill some alien bastards on a world that's actually a ring. Somehow, scientifically, it makes no dickin' sense, but I don't give a shit. It's a Vigima game. I just want to have fun. Everything about Halo 1 was fantastic. The funny thing is, I'm actually going through the Halo games now. I had beaten Halo 1 back in the day, obviously, and Halo 2. Halo 3 I didn't get to play for ages because I was big into PS3. I knew a couple of people that had Xbox 360, but they were going the way of being PC gamers. As we were getting older, you're able to afford different things via work and whatever, you know. They went the way of PC gamers. And the 360 as a console, theirs broke. And they thought, fuck this, and went on to PC. Whereas when my PS3 died of the yellow light of death, I just got the PS3 Slim, and that thing still works. But because of all that horse shit, yeah, I didn't get to play Halo 3 for the longest time. And when I did, it didn't feel as good as 2. So I never played another Halo game. And I thought, I want to fucking change that. I have an Xbox One now. I managed to get one for cheap. Very good condition. I'm going to play the Halo game. So I'm starting from the beginning. I'm playing Halo 1 again. This is the Master Chief Collection, by the way. It's got Halo 2 Anniversary. Didn't know what I was picking. It's just, it's on the menu. I've gone, there you are, Halo 2. This is Anniversary Edition. Wicked. Play it then. Fucking hell. The graphics. As if that game didn't look stellar before. Now it... God damn. The game's fantastic. I've beaten one, I've beaten two anniversary, now I'm on Halo 3, and you know what the funny thing is? I played 1 and 2 on normal mode. I am not enjoying 3. There's something about it. The story is a bit shittier than the other two. The gameplay's a bit meh. I can't put my finger on it. I really can't. As I'm playing the game, thinking, I don't know why I don't like 3 as much. But I never got to play 4. So me thinking, I know I don't like 3, and I've done it before, fuck it. I've put it on easy mode just to get me through the game quicker. I think there's a very easy mode, but let's not make the game boring, hey? So I'm just zooming through it so I can get to 4, new territory, and then 5, I think. I know there's other Halo games, but I'm just sticking to the numbered ones for now. Anyway, that's Halo talk. That's our retro game. Something I could go on about for absolutely ages, but we do have one more game we need to cover. An indie game. I like story-based games for indie games. Haha. We all know this. This is not a visual novel. Shut up and fuck off. It's not. I know I'm making myself out to be a real whore for that stuff, but this isn't that. This is something very different. This game is The Kids We Were. Now, how did I find this game? Well, every so often, when I'm on my Switch, if I've beaten a game, or if I'm playing a game and I get fucked off, I just think, you know what? Leave the game alone, but don't turn the console off. Go to the digital store. See if any of the games in my wish list are on offer. Something I really love about Nintendo. I wish fucking Sony did this with the PlayStation. I want a wish list. I just want something where I can put the games that I know I want to buy, and then things will let me know when they're on offer. But Sony say fuck you to that. And I think this is a real simple and useful feature, and Nintendo, who really don't give a fuck about anyone, actually do this. So it's great. But as I get there, it says, recent releases. We'll have a quick flick through. Let's see what there is. Current offers, stuff like that, you know. The Kids We Were? What the fuck is this? As a name, it didn't catch me. The graphics did, because they're so weird. It's like, it's as if it's pixelated, but 3D pixelated. Best way I can describe it, and only certain gamers will get this, but those that do will know exactly what I mean. There's an amiibo out there for the NES Link from Legend of Zelda. 3D, blocky, not in a Minecraft sense, but like 3D pixel. If you've seen that amiibo, if this is the YouTube one you're paying attention to, I'll put a picture of it up nya. This is the sort of graphics that I was expecting. Of course, if you're watching the fucking YouTube one, I suppose you'll see the gameplay anyway, so that was well spent, dickhead me. Anyway, The Kids We Were looked so weird. I thought, okay, I'll see what this is. So I'll check it out. Straight away it says it's a very heavy story game. I'll go, okay. As I hit the microphone. Okay, you're heavy on the story. That's fine. What is the story? Our story begins with Minato. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It's Japanese. Minato. Minato. I'm calling him Minato. Could be very wrong. Fuck it. So our story begins with Minato arriving in the small town of Kagami, an exceptionally ordinary sort of place in a sleepy suburb of Tokyo. But there's more to this simple trip than meets the eye. Minato has a secret objective. He intends to find his missing father, who is supposedly living somewhere in the area. Our young sleuth, Minato, wastes no time getting started, and soon finds a puzzling clue to his father's whereabouts. A mysterious notebook left for him with the pretentious title, The Seven Mysteries. With this notebook as his guide, Minato sets out on a long and difficult journey. not through space, but through time. For his destination is none other than 33 years in the past. There's a little bit more to the story I could read there. I'm not going to. I feel like it's a bit spoilerish. But yes, basically this is a bit of a time travel-y game. It's got some really tragic bits in this storyline. Now, I am going to do my absolute best to spoil nothing. I am merely going to tell you the sort of start that the thing builds up off of. The thing builds up off of. I good word vocabulary. Fuck you, I'm not editing that out. So here we are in this town. The young lad, Minato, sorry, with his mother and his sister. His sister is very ill. She's only young. Yet, as far as we can make out, she seems to have some sort of bone disease, I suppose. There's a few out there, so it could be anything in particular. The game doesn't go into labelling diseases. At least I don't remember it doing that. But it does say that your sister is in extreme trouble. This is why you need to find your father, because your bone type, calcium type, blood type, I'm not sure, doesn't match up with hers to be a donor, to help her out. Mothers, neither. There is no other family members. There's just the dad, who sort of fucked off. Good for him, eh, dickhead? You have to find him, or your sister is pretty much dead. In trying to find your father, you find the weirdest fucking device, which, I'm sorry, but it looks like a cross between... not even a cross between. It looks like a futuristic, cybernetic box of tofu. Shit, you know, that's what it looks like. You are visited by your future self somehow that gives you an option, a chance to fix things. Doesn't go into more detail because he says, I can't tell you too much for fear of it not happening. We need to go into this. We need to be strong. We need to be ready, but I cannot tell you anymore. It's like, you have barely told me fucking anything anyway, mate. And then you get sent back 33 years, which, boom, means you're slapped into the 80s. That's right, the game's now based in the 80s. And this is where some cool shit happens. There are nearly 100 retro items that you can collect in this game. And when I say retro, they're kind of like all sorts of things from the 80s that we either don't have now or just completely forgotten. The first item, I shit you not, the first item I found in the game was a CRT TV. I was like, it wasn't even fucking looking. Look at that. Brilliant. You find weird candy that you forgot about. Like there's one. Some of this stuff was only in Japan. Like you could get seaweed treats or some bollocks. Needless to say, we didn't get that in UK. At least I fucking never did. But one of the sweets we did get is one they also had. It's like a plastic ring. As a kid, you'd have it, and it's a sodding great gem on it. It's like Hard Rock candy, you know, but it looked like you had a knuckle duster Chaos Emerald as a kid. And it was brilliant. And there's all these sorts of things. Like, you obviously find cassettes and various other silly things like that. There's tons of cool, nostalgic materials and shit you can get for collectibles. I did not get them all, so I don't know if they unlock anything. When I was starting to unlock them all, because it's a case, some of the stuff is just hidden around. You just got to look. And it'll say, examine. You go over, examine. You found a thing. Or you found some coins. The coins you take over to capsule toy machines, and they have the unlockables in. And of course, they don't make sense, because I think the first capsule thing I got was the CRT. It's like, that's brilliant. That would never fit in that. You know, horse shit in that regard. But you don't care because it's so fun. Every three coins gets you a capsule. Sometimes you can find a coin on its own. Sometimes you can find three, more, less, whatever. It's a random fucking number. But let's go more into the graphics for those who are not watching on YouTube. In terms of the colour across the game, it's really well done. You've got morning time, the twilight time, and the nighttime. The nighttime is obviously very simple. The morning one's very colourful, but I really like the twilight time when it's got that orange sky, autumnish like glow on everything. It does have a bit of an 80s feel to it at twilight. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it's there. And the kids you see in the past, they all go out and play. They get in trouble. They get hurt, bruised knees, all this sort of stuff. They go on their own little adventures. It's really well done. You think, that's the kind of shit that no kid today would get because they don't go out. My kids don't go out. They don't. They don't go anywhere. They don't want to see anyone. They want to stay at home, watch shit, play shit. First, I thought, oh, this is bad. Kids shouldn't be like this. Turns out all bloody kids are like this now. Unless you're one of them sporting families. But seeing as those kind of sporting families would not be listening to a gaming podcast, I can say this quite clearly to those sporting families. Eat a bag of dicks. What's the music like in the game? Well, you've obviously heard it a bit. There's a lot of piano. It's very serene. It's very calm. There's certain sound effects like, the game, needless to say, has twists in it. How many? How big they are? I won't say, but they were very good. All very well done. And they all had a sort of iconic dinner piano sound. Every time you heard it, you thought, oh my god, a twist! It, for some reason, reminded me a little bit of Snake's alert sound, which was this. It's iconic. Everyone knows that fucking sound. And the characters, their arms don't move. They have no mouths that move. They walk kind of like South Park. You know, they sort of move, but their legs don't. If you've seen South Park, you'll get what I'm on about. If you haven't, I can't think of how to explain this. It's like a stick man toy being waddled along a table. What the fuck is that I just said for a description? I don't know. Now, seeing as the game is very heavy on story, I'm not going to go any more into detail on it, but I will say this. I got to what appeared to be the end of the game, and I think it could have been. I think it could have been the end right there. And it said to me, it said, are you happy with the result? Are you happy with how this story ends? I said no. I was not happy. I felt like it ended on one hell of a tragic cliffhanger. I thought, have I gone a certain way and fucked things up? Should I have done this? Did I make the right choice? If I say yes, will it continue anyway? If I say yes, I am happy with it, will it somehow evolve into something better? Or shall I just say no and go, no, fuck you. You can't end it. You can't end it like this. You cannot. The story had me so gripped, I thought, you cannot end on me here. You gotta fucking tie up the loose ends. We gotta fix things. This is time travel. We're back and forth all the time. Of course shit goes wrong. We gotta fix it. So I said no. And the game carried on for like another chapter. But it gave you a sort of an ultimatum. You see Minato with another conversation with his future self. And he's saying to him, I need to go back. I need to go back one more time. Send me back. And the older one says, there may be a way, but you won't like it. And then it carries on, and you don't find out what the fuck he said until, like, the last thing in that final chapter. Like, oh, you bastard. The whole time thinking, what did he say? I need to know. And I'm not telling you, so, you'll have to find out for yourself. And then I finally did the game. So good, so enjoyable. It had an epilogue chapter you could do afterwards, a bonus one. It's not important. You do not have to do this. It doesn't tie up any loose ends. It's not like the final goodbye to anyone or anything big like that. It's just sort of there. And it's nice. It's not relevant. I feel like the game might have had more of an impact if it had just ended without the epilogue one. Maybe the epilogue one could have been a DLC. Ugh, I hate to say it. But just something like that. It felt like more of a bonus that was not necessary. It's not bad, but I just felt like when that was done, I had lessened the impact upon me from when I beat the game proper, if that makes any sense. So if you play this game and you beat it and you think, do I want to do the epilogue? I would recommend no, because it's just not as good. The ending is not as solid, as well thought out. It's not bad. it's okay. And that's all it is. Whereas the main ending is fucking fantastic. Although, having said that, there is a downside to this game. One downside that I will be honest with you. While the game is cheap, which is good, if you get it on Switch, you might be able to get it in a sale, which makes it cheaper. So that's great. I question the replayability of this game. Because it doesn't really have branching paths. You can say, I enjoyed it so much. I love the game. I'm going to go back and unlock all of that hidden shit. This time I'll find it all. That's great. That means you found replayability. That's brilliant. But not every game is going to hit you that way. Like, I'm a big fan of the game Firewatch, as I've mentioned many times before. I've replayed it many times. Does it branch in many different paths? There's little differences you can make along the way. Very tiny ones. That's it. Otherwise, it's the same fucking shit each time. But I love it so much I don't care. With this game, you might well be in that same boat as me with Firewatch. You might think, yeah, the differences I can make along the way are very minute, but it's so much fun, and I enjoyed it so much, I don't care. I'm playing the game again. But I have to admit the fact that the mass of people that play it will probably just play it the once. And that'll be it. And that's the only real bad thing I can find about it. I mean, let's be fair. I've spoken with my mate Gravy Tom from Do You Nerd many times about replaying games. And he's openly admitted to me he doesn't get to do that anymore. He's at the time where he just thinks he feels guilty if he's playing a game he's played before. Rather than going, I've got this new one I got on the fucking shelf ages ago. I should be playing that because I don't know what that's like. But I want to find out. It's kind of like, do I try the new adventure? Or do I try the safe adventure that I already know? You know. That's kind of gaming when you get older, isn't it? So, take that as you will. That is the only bad thing I can say about this game, is I question the replayability. I'm not saying there isn't any. I'm just saying I question it. Anyway, that was our indie game. The Kids We Were. And before that, we had Halo Combat Evolved. And before that, we had Raiden 4 X Mikado Remix, fucking long enough name, bastard. And before that, we had an incredible dynamic story about me and my shit luck. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the 16 Bitchin' Podcast. If you're watching it on YouTube, don't. Go and listen to the new one, which is out right now on all your podcasty places. I think all of them. I don't know. There's probably quite a lot of podcast apps out there, isn't there? I'm on several of them. I'm probably not on all of them. I'm pretty sure no one's on all of them. I'm rambling. Thank you very much for checking out this podcast. Fuck me. And I will see you next time.